Hello everyone, happy Sunday, glad to be here, and today we're still continuing in the book of James in our series, The Wisdom Speaks. So today, the title will be on truth and grace, and it's going to be based on James chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. And let me just read the verse for you. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sisters or judges them speak against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's close our eyes and just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time where we can read your words, we can listen to your words. And Lord, open our hearts today that we may be receptive to your message. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in our life and shape our life so that we can bring glory to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we're still in the book of James. It's chapter 4. And before we go into today's verse, I would like to step back a little bit and see what is James 4 all about, right? Because in here, when we jump into today's verse, it's suddenly start with brother and sister, do not slander one another. So what is going on? So let's step back a little bit. And looks at chapter 4 in general. What's the context on James chapter 4? And this is the thing that Brother Josh go over last week, right? So chapter 4, again, I don't include everything, but I hope this gives you kind of a snapshot of what's going on in chapter 4 and why in the verses that we just read and what's leading to it. So chapter 4 starts with quarrels. So James is saying, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And last week, Josh talked about, you know, these selfish desires, our desires for our own goods, and oftentimes becomes a conflict with others. And after that, Josh also talked about how pride can be the source of, can be the root that cause conflict within the church. And again, when James talking about fights and quarrels, these are not for people outside the church. These are not people who's out there, but these are people within the church. These are the Christian themselves. You know, that's why later on you'll see James is addressing them as brothers and sisters. But the sad thing is there's quarreling in the church. And so in this letter, James is trying to tell people, like, hey, why are you quarreling, right? And he goes over some of the things that cause quarrel within the church, which I just mentioned just now. You know, there is the selfish desires, there is pride. And today, we're going to see how quarrels, how fights within the church is caused by people slandering one another, right? So this is the continuations from what we've just read just now, and James says, brother and sisters, do not slander one another. And today we're going to go over what the slanders mean, what's going on, and how can we prevent such conflict, you know, within our church and even within our family or within our community. Now, instead of starting from the beginning, I want to jump towards the end first, because I want to address perhaps a particular verse that often misunderstood and often taken out of context, right? And if you read here, at the end of verse 12, it says, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So if you familiar, perhaps that particular verse remind you of what Jesus was saying and recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus say, judge not, that you be not judged. You know, this has to be one of the most well-known and most quoted verses of the Bible. And unfortunately, it's one of the most misused and taken out of context. Now, within the church, some Christians seem to think or hope that Jesus commands a universal acceptance of any lifestyle or any teachings, right? Whereas outside the church, oftentimes, that is the verse that people who's not familiar with the Bible quote us on. You know, they will say, you know, one thing I really hate about Christian is how judgmental they are. Like, how dare them tell me what is right and what is wrong? And they'll continue on saying, you know, though it may not be right for you, it could be right for someone else. You must never tell somebody else's behavior is wrong. You know, you must not tell me what is right and what is wrong. It's up to me. You shouldn't make moral evaluation, moral judgment for me. And I guess to that, I mean, to be honest, addressing that, to me, it sounds a bit contradictory, right? Because when they say, you must never tell me what is right or what is wrong, you must never judge me, I mean, that itself is a moral evaluation, right? So they are doing the same thing that they told you not to do. But oftentimes, furthermore, as a moral and social being, I think we can't help it. I mean, for us, as a human being, you know, as a moral being, we will make a moral evaluation. We will make judgment of what is right and what is wrong. I mean, can you just imagine if you meeting anyone or meeting someone and they say, oh yeah, no, everything is permissible. You can do whatever you want. I mean, I think the society as we know it will collapse, right? And as a social being, you know, when you know someone you care about, someone you deeply love, is heading to somewhere that will cause pain, if you know someone that you love dearly is doing something wrong, of course you'd like to tell them, hey, you know, I think what you're doing is wrong, right? So what often misunderstood is that people are looking at this particular verse in itself, you know, not seeing the context. Because if you look through the context, you know, if you read through, for example, Matthew 7, when Jesus say, judge not that you be not judged, it doesn't end there, right? That is not just a blanket statement that, you know, Jesus tell, oh, you must never judge anyone. But it continues on, and Jesus is saying, you know, for which the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? And I just add that illustration, which it's kind of funny, right? I mean, of course, I guess Jesus added a little bit of humor this time, right? I mean, there's no way that you don't see a log, you know, sticking out of your own eye. What Jesus is trying to say here, you know, he's not just putting a blanket statement and stop judging, don't do moral evaluations, never mind what is right and what is wrong. No, that is not what he's doing. What Jesus is doing in here is reminding us that oftentimes when we make judgment about others, we're forgetting our own faults, right? Jesus is talking about hypocrisy. You know, don't be a hypocrite. And, you know, pointing other people's fault while you have that glaring fault on yourself. And, you know, if you read further, even Jesus himself offered guidelines on how to correct a brothers or sisters. So I guess I'm just trying to point out that, you know, please be careful when read the verse. And if you take it out of context, then you can get into a wrong meaning, or it's not something that the author of the Bible intended to. Now, going back to verses in James, again, when James says, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? He's not saying that you should never, you know, do a moral evaluation. You should never discern what is right and what is wrong. But what he's trying to say, as we can see later on, is, you know, to make judgments as someone with a higher moral authority and taking the positions of, you know, kind of like God and condemn someone. So that is what James is trying to say in the verses that we just read. Okay, so now, with that in mind, then let's go with the beginning again. slander, right? James is talking about slander. Brother and sisters, do not slander one another. Now, the word slander, if you open your English dictionary, it means to damage someone's reputations. And there are a few ways to damage someone's reputations, right? You can spread lies. You can spread, you know, negative news, fake news about someone, and you try to bring that someone's reputation down. But you can also say something truthful about someone in a particular way that it hurts that person, right? And in these verses, that is the case. You know, James here is using the word kataleleo. So it's a Greek word, and that is different than the Greek word for lies. So in here, James is not saying, you know, do not speak ill of someone by spreading lies, by spreading bad rumors that is not true. But he's saying, you know, when you speak truth to someone, there is a particular way that can hurt the other persons. And the word slander here, you know, in the original Greek words, literally means to belittle, to make someone small. You know, in slander, you might be telling the truth, but the reason you're doing it is to make that person small in their own eyes or in the eyes of others. You're telling the truth to make them lose respect of themselves or the respects of those around him. And let me give you an example. As a lot of you knows, you know, I have two kids, and you know, with the current COVID-19 situations, I'm working from home. So there are days where it feels very difficult, and then sometimes we just kind of trying to get, we're just surviving, you know. And with that, you know, there's this one bad habit of mine that sometimes causes an issue, which is I often use things and don't put it back in its original place. You know, for example, I will take scissors and cut the open the box, and then I just left the scissors there, sometimes on the floor, sometimes on the table, right, wherever it is where I use it, but I don't put it back. Or I take at that particular day, you know, I took out diaper wipes, and I was using diaper wipes for my second baby, and I left it in the floor. And again, that particular day was just like today, a particularly hot day. It's been a challenging day with the two kids, you know, crying and, you know, fighting. Well, not really fighting, it's just more my baby, you know, disturb Kyle when he's playing. So it's been a difficult day, and my wife saw that, you know, the house is kind of a mess, and she saw that the diaper wipes on the floor. And so she scolded me and say, "Han, can you please put this thing back? I think I've mentioned it to you. You know, once you use thing, can you please put it back so it's not messy?" And in any other day, you know, in any regular day, that's fine. You know, that will be the end of it, and I'll just say, "Oh, yep, sorry, honey." But then, you know, and that day, you know, it was, as I said, it was a tiring day. And, you know, when my wife scolded me, you know, blood starts boiling, right? You're just ready to retaliate. You know, I'm not saying anything yet, but in my heart, you know, I'm ready. I'm preparing the arguments. Something like, "Oh, you think you're so great? What about X? You also don't do X well. What about Y? You know, I wish you do Y." You know, I was preparing and about to attack back, and my wife says, "I know it's hard, but can you please try it?" So with that, of course, you know, that kind of calmed me down. I end up not saying anything. But imagine if I go with my retaliations, right? I'm going to say to my wife something true about her. You know, let's face it, no one is perfect, and you, when you're married for a few years, you will know your each other weaknesses, right? Each other bad habit or things that you just don't like about each other to some degree, right? Things that you can tolerate, but sometimes in a bad day, that becomes a source of contentions. Now, if I'm to reply to my wife at a time, that will still be a truth. You know, I'm not lying that she didn't do X or she didn't do Y well. That's still a truth. But the reason I'm telling that, it's not to build her up, it's not to help the family, it's to bring her down, right? Where my wife, you know, reminding me to put things back because she's concerned that, you know, my second baby, for some reason, she likes to chew on diaper wipes. She likes to chew on anything like, you know, soft clothes, a paper towel, tissue, and, you know, again, with that includes diaper wipes. So she's, I mean, probably she's also concerned that it's there on the floor, my baby will take it and eat it, right? So it's warranted, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that she doesn't mean harm to me. Whereas on my side, if I was to retaliate, you know, I'll be saying some truth, but for the sake of hurting her, for the sake of putting her down, for the sake of defending my ego. So I think to some degree, you know, this is what James is talking about. Now, when you're using the truth, there is a way to use the truth in such a way that it belittles that other person. There is a way to use the truth to make that person small, you know, to make that person lose their self-respect. And this is what James is forbidding us. There is what James is reminding us about. So the questions for us today is, now, when we are telling the truth, are we trying to build people up or tear them down? Right? When you're telling the truth to your friends, to your family, to your spouse, to your kids, you know, is that a way for you to punish them? Is that a way for you to push them away? Or are you telling them to pull them in and to reclaim the relationship? You know, as a Christian, of course, you know, you'll hear that you should never lie, you should always tell the truth. But the thing is, even when you tell the truth, you can still hurt other people. You know, even when you're telling them the truth, you can still belittle them and hurt them. So the questions for today that James is asking us is, when you're telling the truth, you know, are you trying to build them up? Are you trying to build people up? Are you trying to tear them down? Are you saying the truth for the sake to prove your point, to prove that you are smart, to prove that you know more? Or is it really to help the other party? Right, and oftentimes it is our own ego, and again, going back to last week, team, it's oftentimes our own pride, you know, that causing us to telling the truth to others in a way that end up hurting them. Telling others people the truth for the sake of boosting our own ego. And unfortunately, what happens back then, you know, at the time when this letter is written, it's still happening now, right? People, well, whichever church you go, there will still be, to some degree, some quarreling within the members. There's some quarreling within the ministers, right? I mean, a church is a collection of people, and each of the person, you know, bring with it their own experience, their own background, and their own baggage. And sometimes all those things, you know, can cause conflict within the church. And so as a church, how can we become a church that is committed to truth without an ounce of moral superiority? Right? How can we be a community where we can be faithful to the truth and yet full of grace? So I think the first step is perhaps to identify if we in ourselves have this judging spirit, right? And how do you know if you have a judging spirit? So I'm just going to go into a few points. And I guess the first one is when you criticize someone and they are crushed. Of course, I'm not taking, you know, there are some people that no matter how careful you say it, no matter how gentle, how caring you say it, they will still be upset, they will be still angry at you, and you know the relationship will be broken. But what I'm trying to say here is, if you find continuously over the years, the people you criticize are made to feel little, it's over time, you know, whenever you criticize someone, the other person lose their self-respect. If whenever you rebuke someone, the relationship broken, then perhaps, you know, you need to look at yourself and see if you have that judging spirit, if the way you're sharing the truth is condemning them at the same time. Now, the second one is if you have fault-finding habit. You know, if you oftentimes being irritated by other people and you say something like, I can't believe how stupid people are. I can't believe how dumb they are. I can't believe why they don't get me. I can't believe, you know, why these people is allowed to do X. They're incompetent, right? So if you oftentimes find irritated by majority of the people, then perhaps you have that a strong ego and you have that fault-finding habit, you know, where you often focus on people's mistakes, you often focus on the other people's fault, and I guess this is something that maybe, you know, Jesus is talking about, right? People who can see the speck in other people's eyes but don't see the log in their own eyes. And the third thing is, if you enjoy gossip, right? If you not only, but more than that, you know, it's not that you enjoy telling people about their fault, but also enjoy hearing it. If you not only enjoy telling people about their fault, but also enjoy hearing it. And to be honest, this is one thing that I did feel that you know, when I go over this particular section, it's something that struck me. I'm not in particular like to talk about other people's or other people's fault. But when I hear about, you know, when other people are talking about, you know, oh, you know, this happened to XYZ, or oh, do you know XYZ did this terrible thing, or do you know, you know, this unfortunate news about this person who's committing X. You know, on the outside, sometimes I say, oh man, really? That's too bad. Oh, wow. You know, oh, poor him. But then on the inside, there are times when I say, oh yeah, he deserved it. He totally deserved it. He's just, you know, it's not weird that he got that. You know, when I reflect on my own experience, you know, while I'm not expressing it in externally, but deep down, you know, I sometimes have that judging spirit where I condemn people, where I say, you or this person deserve that things to happen. This person deserve X. This person deserve Y just because they are, you know, they're doing, you know, how come they do this stupid thing? How come they don't know that this will lead to that, right? And sometimes it's not obvious, but perhaps, you know, if you're honest, maybe you also have that kind of judging spirit inside of you, right? Where you might not enjoy gossip, you might not gossiping, you might not telling people about other people's fault, but deep down, you judge people and you laugh when people go through some difficult things. And why? You know, why do people enjoy gossiping? Why do people, you know, enjoy hearing about other people's bad news? Only because it makes you feel better. It makes me feel that, oh yeah, you know, I'm better than that person's. I'm more righteous than that person's. You know, I'm more successful than that person's. Right? Oftentimes when we gossip or we enjoy hearing gossip, that's because we needed to pat our own ego. We needed to pat our pride. We needed to pat our inferiority or our insecurity. So church, today I invite you to look upon your hearts and see whether such thing exists in your hearts. Whether you enjoy hearing, you know, gossip, whether you like to gossip. And sometimes in the church it's more difficult, right? Sometimes in the church you can make it as if you are doing it for good, right? Oh, do you know about this happening to that person? We should pray for them. And you're telling that to another person who doesn't have any reason to know about that news, and you package it as if like, oh, you know, we need to pray for these persons. But, you know, you're just saying it to spread the news. You're just saying it because you enjoy talking about other people's ill news. So church, again, be careful. Because like as James said, you know, that can become a spark of quarrel. That can be a source of divisions within the church and within our community. And the last thing is, when you often go beyond facts and impute motives to people. How do you know if you have a judging spirit? It's when you often go beyond facts and impute motives to people. And let me share one story. It's a story from another church. So there is this elder who was the head of a committee. So he's the head of a committee, and unfortunately, you know, while he is faithful, this elder tends to be indecisive, and he tends to be timid. And there is this couple that joined this committee, and you know, they have a lot of ideas, they have new things they want to try out, they have great things that they want to do within the church. And the elder got a little bit intimidated, and you know, his indecisiveness was frustrating for the couples. You know, the elder would say, oh, you know, I think that's a good idea, but maybe we should wait a little bit more. Or, you know, I think before we make the changes, why do we research a bit more, right? So after a while, the couple get frustrated because they have, you know, they're gung-ho, they want to do all these great things that they have in mind, but the elder seems to make it not move as fast as they want. And so one day, the couples gather all the elders and hold a meeting. And, you know, and they finally say, and they point to the elders and say, you know, this man, he doesn't have passion for Christ. This man doesn't want to do great things for Christ, and he doesn't love Jesus, and blah, blah, blah. And to that, the pastor replied, you know, if you come in and tell us that these persons is in indecisive leaders, if you come in and say this person is ineffective as leaders, then perhaps you're right. But when you come in here and say all these things that you're not even sure, you're showing me that you come here to punish him. You come here to slander him, and you come here to push him away. And then the pastor demands an apology from the couple. When you often go beyond facts and impute motives to people, be careful. Because we are not God, and we can't see, you know, we oftentimes cannot know the motive of why people are doing certain things. You know, we don't know their background. We don't know the experience that these people has gone through. And oftentimes, you know, if you have the judging spirit, you'll make up the motives and you'll punish the persons. So, church, be careful. Now, continue on with the verses. So, this is James 4, chapter 4, verse 12. He says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And so what is James trying to remind these people, right? After saying, oh, don't do this, don't slander people. How is he trying to build the church to not do that anymore? And that is by reminding them that there is the one true judge. There is one who is worthy to judge, and that is God alone. You know, he's reminding them that there is the creator, you know, when he says the one who is able to save and destroy, right? There is this creator, there is God. Like, who are you to judge? And if I'm to quote Paul's words, right, Paul says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So church, the questions today for you and I is, have we forgotten who we are and who God is? You know, when we are quick to judge, when we're quick to point finger, when we're quick to condemn someone, perhaps we've forgotten about who we are, that we are sinner before God. And one day, you know, we will stand before the true judge, and hear about our judgment. And perhaps, you know, when we're quick to judge, we've forgotten about the good news that we hear, the good news that become a reason of why we follow Christ. And that is because, you know, this judge, you know, the one who is worthy to judge, the one who created us all, and the one whom we have betrayed, has become the one who bears our judgment. Right? In Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Church, when we quick to judge, perhaps we forgot about the gospel. Perhaps we forgot about Jesus, you know, the judge who saves us by bearing our own judgment. You know, God's law says you are guilty of sins against a holy God, and the justice demands your life. And yet Jesus come in and say, "Take my life instead. Take my life instead." You know, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Church, let's take that to our hearts and remember. You know, that as many faults as the other person has, we too have a lot of faults. We too will be judged. And yet, because of what Christ has done, because of what he has went through for us, you know, we are saved by faith through grace. So as I close, you know, I want us to be committed. You know, imagine if we can be a community that is committed to grace and truth. You know, fully committed to truth at the same time, without any ounce of moral superiority. Imagine if we can share the truth with a lot of grace. And so with that, church, I invite us to, you know, to spend more time in caring for others, in praying for the others, than in correcting others. You know, I'm not saying, you know, when we see someone living in sin, when we see someone's going to the wrong directions, when we see someone making mistakes, no, I'm not saying that we should not remind them, but that we should not gentle rebuke them. But church, you know, with our sinful behavior, you know, oftentimes we're not able to do so. We won't be able to share the truth in a gentle and loving way unless we've spent time in our prayers, unless we've spent time, you know, at trying to understand the other person, trying to understand what this person has gone through. You know, unless we've imagined ourselves being in their shoes, you know, oftentimes we'll be a harsh judge and won't be a fair judge. So again, you know, let's learn to be a church that is committed to the truth, but filled with grace. You know, let's spend time in learning about the others. Let's spend time in praying for the others. More time in loving them than in correcting others. And remember, church, you know, being a Christian, you're supposed to tell the truth. But more than that, how are you telling the truth? Why are you telling such truth? Can we be a community that tells truth to build one another? Can we be a community that tells truth for unity? Can we be a community that tells truth because we love our brothers and sisters? Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your words and thank you for your message. Lord, help us to see the faults in our own eyes and in our own hearts. Lord, oftentimes, you know, we are quick to judge. We are quick to come up with other people's motive. We are quick to condemn others. And we forgot about our own fault. Lord, sometimes we are impatient with other people's fault. We are impatient with other people's weaknesses. And we are forgetting how much patience you've been with us. How much patience you've been in dealing with our own weaknesses. Lord, give us the heart that can bear with one another. Give us the heart that can bear with each other's fault. And give us the heart that's willing to listen, willing to pray, and willing to share the burden with one another. Lord, I pray that this church, that your church all around the world, can be a community that is committed to your truth and be filled with grace. Help us, O Lord, to be such community. Help us, O Lord, to be truly a brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Lord, that we'll not be the judge over one another, but to be your sons and daughters and to serve one another, because you, O Lord, have served us, because you, O Lord, have died for us, because you, O Lord, have come in and bear our punishment. And through you, O Lord Jesus, that we've received peace and salvation. Amen.